Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the show with the three amigos, Hotman, Crowder, and Solana on FM radio. Them boys be sliding, so we riding and we ready to go. 100,000 watts, full throttle, baby, ready to blow. We passing Boca up to Jupiter, we got your attention. You can tune in anywhere, but listen at your discretion. To the legend, Mr. Hotman, can't stop him, each other deuce. My brother got his own hot burger at Tucker Deuce. Now my Rushmore of these sports, spitting the truth. It's Channing Crowder, greatest Dolphin, to rock the 52. Solana, one best of Miami, the voice of FIU. We repping to Miami, the Heat and the Panthers too. We repping for the Marlins, the Dolphins, that's how we do. We repping for the Crips, so it's always about the U. Hey Jimmy, please get a bell on the phone and tell him that it's on. I finally got his name on the song. Can't do him wrong, cause it sounds so sweet. You spit the facts while I keep the crowd on their feet. Football season be the reason that I be bringing this heat. Georgia music representing 104.3. Hey, show,
welcome to the show. Well, guess we have to do this. So let's do this. Dolphins, oy vey. Hurricanes, oy vey. And the Florida Panthers, oy vey. Solana's putting on a paper bag.
Paper bag time.
I mean, his Heat haven't won a preseason game either. I mean, this guy's got myriad reasons to be wearing a paper bag on his head.
Focus on what's important, Hawk. Focus on what's important. The Heat haven't played a regular season game yet.
One team deserves paper bag for sure.
Oh, my God.
Damn, Miami Gardens.
I mean, you know, Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald, he tweeted out, when I've asked a Stephen Ross associate why no changes, he cited the owner wanting to give McDaniel and Greer a fair amount of time to turn this around. And Bear Jackson tweets, yesterday and previous weeks did not qualify, in his view, as reasons to change from that approach. Who knows what will? And I'm of that. Listen, I am a believer in patience. I'm a believer in stability. I'm a believer in giving context to losses and seasons. I did it for the entirety of last season. I said there's a problem with the backup quarterback, which, by the way, I want to get into as well, because they identified Zach Wilson. Out of all the quarterbacks who were available, they identified Zach Wilson. And then by game 7, they identified Quinn Ewers as being better than the guy they identified as the hope for the backup. But regardless, I'll get to that later.
I have an opinion on that one, too.
At some point, patience and stability and just standing by your man, at some point it's stupid. Like, at some point, it's just not warranted. Again, I think it's laudable. I really do. I think it's laudable to say, hey, you're the guy I hired, and I believed in you before the season started. I'm not going to not believe in you less than half the season in. But at some point, it's just stupid. It doesn't serve a purpose. And I can't figure out what purpose it serves to have Mike McDaniel as the head coach of this team anymore. Or, and this one hurts me, I don't know what purpose it serves to have Tua as your starting quarterback next week at least. Give him a breather. I'm not saying he loses the starting quarterback job. I'm saying he's been so bad that maybe you just need a break for a week to where, hey, get your head together. You play with the backups and let's just try to make something happen where there's nothing happening. I don't know, but the fact that Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel are still employed is shocking to me because, again, I'm a big believer in patience and stability. But at some point, you have to say, if you're the owner of the operation, what transpired yesterday was so unacceptable mm-hmm. that someone's head has to roll. And it's not.
Tua first, last week shook Tua. The criticism, the national negativity on Tua, he can say whatever he wants about not listening. And people told us, if you tell him, you know, there was a world earthquake, he wouldn't know because he doesn't watch. That's a lie. He was shook. He was trying too hard. He was trying to prove something. The McDaniel, Chris Greer thing, like the football gods has now shown Stephen Ross an ass-kicking week one, then a close game, and then a loss late, and now another ass-kicking. The football gods are trying to give him everything he needs to say, this isn't what it is. I don't know the reason behind it. I'm not the call. None four of us are the fire everybody guys.
No.
But you just have to see this and say, this is embarrassing. That's embarrassing football. And let me tell you, I watched the game because I couldn't watch it live. I was doing that F1 crap. I watched the game knowing that it's a blowout, so I'm watching it very skeptical of anything that happened positive. The O-line can't block physically, and they can't identify where the guys are coming from. So they don't know who to block. And then when they do know who to block, they can't block them with ability.
I mean, there's a play that went viral on social media of Savai Naia getting rolled in a way where he looks like it was me trying to protect the quarterback.
On the third interception, I believe, the one in the end zone when he threw it out, there was a guy running scot-free at him. Nobody even looked at the fella that went and hit Tua in his chest. No one knew he was around. I don't know who to block, and when there is a dedication, I get run over like I'm a three-year-old. The receivers, I don't want to say they gave up on Tua. They just looked like they were running in slow motion. And you're like, oh, it's wet. The Browns people didn't like they were running that slow. Jalen Waddle's a very fast human being. Defensively, they ran the same exact play that the Carolina Panthers run. When Judkin broke that long run, same exact play. Zone cutback. You're supposed to self-scout and self-correct. They're not self-correcting because they don't have the guns to self-correct.
I put in a bet already, Bijan Robinson, over 400 yards rushing for next Sunday. If over. Judkins and Rico Dowdle, literally there's not a running back who's not frothing at the mouth to get a crack at this defense.
They don't have the guns, so that's why the Chris Greers jump in. They don't have the weaponry in that entire building to stop the run. They can't do it. They bring the safeties down, and they're trying to get the safety one-on-one with the running back. That's what happened when the touchdown. The 25, I don't know. Can he see? Who's 25? He had me so hot. My goodness. Like, they're not as talented. They're not as talented as the Cleveland Browns.
Which is shocking because on paper, I feel like they are. But they're obviously not. I mean, listen. For me, it kind of starts and ends with Tua at this point. He is a shell of himself. And if you can, in that game, playing from behind, still only find Jaylen Waddle one time for 15 yards, then something's wrong.
Jerry Jeudy's better than Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to argue it today.
Watching the game, you're looking at him. We have Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb. No, Myles Garrett is what we need. We need a Myles Garrett. That's what we need. If you just look at that game, there are that much talent, that much more talented than us. And okay. So 28's going to get the ball 416 times. I could figure out a defense to stop that. It's getting embarrassing. The football gods have showed Ross everything they can show him. I don't see the like I said, are they going to find the next best head coach on October 21st if they fire him tonight? No. But for the reason for him to be in that building, I would say just doing the talk and losing all confidence in his team, with the team losing confidence in him, I think it is a disservice to the organization to just keep these guys around to be nice.
Well, what I would say is this, and first of all, Sports Talk on WQAM is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. What I would say is Mike McDaniel preached after the Chargers game, and then after the Tua postgame debacle, put it out of your mind. It's all forgotten after the Cleveland game. But then the Cleveland game comes, and it's way worse, and it's more embarrassing than anything they've done this season. Mm-hmm. So to that point, Crowder and Solana, how can Mike McDaniel continue to lead the team? If your leader continues to preach something, and instead of it happening like he says it's going to happen, the opposite happens, then if you're a player, why on earth wouldn't you just tune him out? And so when you say it's a disservice to the organization, I agree. If my leader says to me after the Chargers game and after what Tua says after the game, hey, put it out of your mind, we're focusing on Cleveland, and after we get to Cleveland, no one's going to think about what happened at the end of that Chargers game, and no one's going to think about what happened in the postgame press conference, and no one's going to be worried about what happened because we're a week-by-week organization, put it out of your mind. And I go, okay, boss, I'm with you. I put it out of my mind. And then Sunday rolls around, and then Monday rolls around, and every bleeping talk show nationally is talking about me again in an embarrassing fashion. Why am I going to listen to what that guy has to say ever again? Because he's shown me the words are hollow.
100%. And that's what happened. I was a part of it. What's going on now with Mike McDaniel is what went on with Cam Cameron. This is Cam Cameron. He had a longer tenure, and he had 2023. We're still living off 2023. He had 2023. But there's no way we're listening. Do you think he turns into Martin Luther King right, in his press conferences with the team?
Right.
When they're sitting in that team meeting room this morning, I hope they couldn't call it a victory Monday. Just take tomorrow off, embarrassment Monday. They had to have had a team meeting today. He's up there saying, guys, that didn't really go, with 11-on-11 football, we can't really make mistake. Okay, coach, do you have anything to say encouraging? Do you have anything to say how we're
going
to write this?
And shit? Even if he didn't have all the ums in there, again, he's going to preach the same thing, which is, well, we've got to focus on Atlanta. But you tried that on me after Indianapolis, and you tried that on me after the Chargers, and you tried, like, enough. I can't listen to what you have to say anymore.
New voice.
It's not going to change fortunes.
No.
But a new voice.
And a reinvigoration. Because I hate to question effort. Because now you're saying guys are giving up. And I really don't think guys give up. But they didn't seem tenacious. Even making plays. When guys did make a play, it was like, oh, yay. oh yeah, tackle, backfield, go, 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 good job. It wasn't what I'm used to seeing. I was going to say good teams. It wasn't what I'm used to in football. I'll say that.
I'm looking at the text machine. So now what? Freaking fool, Hockman. The fans always knew Tua sucked. Flores did. They knew this team sucked before the season started. But you? Clueless. Yeah, okay, but I don't make decisions involving the team. Like, the guys who made the decisions involving the team, they didn't consult with me. And listen, Vegas had them at 8.5 wins, which means Vegas thought it was a 50% chance they'd have 9 wins, 50% chance they'd have 8 wins. You had a brain trust of football people giving Tua $250 million. You had guys like Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel, who's more negative than I am regarding the Dolphins, had them as an 8 or a 9 win team. So when you say, and now what? Yeah, it wasn't my job to hire Tua in the first place. It's not going to be my job to bench him. It's not my job to retain Chris Greer. It's not my job to fire Chris Greer. It's not my job. So, yeah, freaking fool texter. Now what? I don't know. I'm reacting the way you are.
I think the only logical way to get out of any of this and to turn this season around, more player-only meetings, guys. Who's with me? Player-only meeting. One more. Give me one more player-only meeting.
Is he super loud, Jimmy? He sounds much louder than the rest of us.
Not that much louder.
He seems super loud to me. Like, he blew my eardrums out. Let's do...
To the Texas point, I thought you were going to come on today and say, 11-6, fellas.
Well, I do see some positives if you want to know the truth. I love when people get angry. Like, I see this on social media with, like, the Dolphins beat writers. Like, they get angry at the Dolphins beat writers. Like, they're calling the offense. Like, hey, everybody's got an opinion. Listen, there were more opinions. Now, you, texter, you can live in your own social media bubble where everyone agrees with you. The Dolphins were going to stink and Tua was going to stink. That was not the prevailing notion. It wasn't around the league, and it wasn't around the fans. People may not have expected a Super Bowl, but no one expected this. Unless you, of course, you, texter, you expected this. We know that you had this.
I've been the you guys call me the Tua hater. I've been the biggest Tua detractor. For the past couple years, even in 2023, I wasn't expecting this type of drop-off.
No one was.
We are seeing legitimately some of the worst quarterbacking play in the last 25 years from Tua Tagovailoa, who probably is the best quarterback the Dolphins have had since Dan Marino. At the very least, he had the best season
Tua,
a quarterback has had.
As bad as he has been this season, is the best Dolphins quarterback you have ever watched in your life.
He had the best season the Dolphins have had post-Marino. Hawk, right now, Tua Tagovailoa is playing similar to Cleo Lemon-type football, man.
But he has had the best Dolphins career of any quarterback you've ever watched.
It's not saying much, though.
No, I understand that. I'm just telling you, Tua, in however old you are, 30 years old, you have never had a better quarterback your Dolphins team than Tua Tagovailoa.
But
you haven't.
I could make the case that this is worse than any of those previous
quarterbacks. I'm saying in totality, this season is one of the worst seasons you'll ever see from a starting Dolphins quarterback, especially one who had expectations. But you in your lifetime have never had a quarterback talked about in the MVP race.
You're right.
Other than Tua.
But I'd say this situation is worse than previous situations because we got fooled.
Oh, yeah.
And the Dolphins paid him
$250 million. Yeah, they're on the hook.
And now what do you do? The cap ramifications to get out from under Tua Tagovailoa's contract is a worse situation now knowing what we know, which is this guy, unfortunately, whether it's injury, whether it's concussion, whatever the reason is, this guy's cooked, brother. This guy's cooked.
Yeah, he looks mentally cooked. He looks physically cooked. He looks cooked.
And the thing that you could constantly point to, we talked about it, and I know Barry Jackson wrote an article. I had mentioned Kyle Krabs kind of diving into the numbers last week, gentlemen, where the one thing you could rely on with Tua was accuracy, especially between 10 to 19 yards. And he can't make those throws anymore. He just can't. What do you do?
When you say cooked physically –
Everything. Mentally, like, physically, he can't make the throws that he was making that made him an elite, accurate passer. Not player, but passer. He can't make those throws right now, and this isn't a two-game sample size. And I realize losing Tyreek Hill is important, but at the end of the day, you have to rely on your quarterback to make the type of throws that make him a good quarterback, and you can't rely on him to do that anymore.
But I've seen him make some good throws, and this is why, like, is Tua cooked or is it McDaniel's fault, this offense? Carolina game, 0 points in the third quarter. You have an entire half to speak with an entire staff about what they're doing defensively against us. You come out in the third quarter, 0 points. Chargers game, let me guess, 0 points. Browns game, they ain't scoring a damn point in the second half, not just the third quarter.
Did you see what his QBR was?
What are you doing at halftime? Because that's when offensive gurus, air quotes,
but Crowder,
that's when they figure it out and have an approach.
Crowder, Tua can't throw the ball past the line of scrimmage. And yesterday, you know what they did at halftime? They came out, they said, hey, as bad as it's been, this is still a winnable football game. Let's turn things around. And guess what Tua did? The first snap of halftime, he threw an awful pass to Devon Achane. Guess where? 1 yard in front of the line of scrimmage. He threw it out of his reach, and it got taken back for a pick six.
You know what his QBR was yesterday, Crowder?
Oh, in the teens.
Teens! He would pay you his contract for it to be in the teens. Three.
A three?
Three.
Good grief.
His QBR was three. All right, let's do headlines. John Michaels is going to join us because I want to talk Hurricanes as well. They crapped the bed as well. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit them at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com.
Well, Mike McDaniel says everything is on the table.
Oh, all right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
Like what?
His playbook? Is it like?
I was just like what? If it's no change in any staff members, what's on the table?
Everything.
But forfeiting? I do believe benching Tua is on the table. You have to make a splash move. You have to. You're a laughing stock. And if the splash move is not getting rid of McDaniel or Greer, Tua has to sit next week. I'm not saying for the season. I'm not saying he lost his starting job. I'm saying he lost something the last couple of weeks. He needs a week to get his head straight.
So you bench Tua, and I've seen this, and, you know, so now is Quinn Ewers the starter?
Yeah.
So the two
well,
guys
that that's
love
a whole nother conversation in and of itself, if it's Quinn Ewers.
So the guys
not.
That love Tua and established that Zach Wilson was the best backup after the Tim Boyle situation.
Right.
Now they're rolling on the sideline, and Tua has on a hat and a headphone.
But we called it, didn't we? $6 million to go to Zach Wilson, and you guys
could have had the Pastronaut.
Could have had the Pastronaut who threw a dime yesterday. $6 million that money could have been allocated to what? Offensive line depth, secondary depth.
Or you could have allocated another $3 or $4 million to that position and gotten Jameis Winston.
But it wouldn't have mattered at this point, Hawk.
I don't know, man.
It wouldn't have mattered. By the time you have to make this decision, you're sitting at 1-6 anyways.
Yeah, but if you have a quality backup who's been a winner before sitting behind him, maybe it doesn't get to this point. I don't know.
But if you have at the very least the ability to run the football, you can lean on something else to help at least alleviate some of the transgressions from your quarterback. You can lean on it, but they can't. You know why? Because the right side of their offensive line after the third snap of the season was toast. And they have nobody else to fall back on because they didn't allocate the necessary resources to depth on the offensive line, which should have been priority number one this offseason. And once again, they didn't do it.
Somebody texted in, by the way, I bet all the Tua unders. Bingo, money in the bank. Well, then you're losing money on the Tua rushing under because the over has hit every bleeping week, including yesterday. Tua rushing over for life.
When Tua's going through something, a rough patch, we'll call it. He's not cooked. He's a rough patch. He's leaning on Zach Wilson or Quinn Ewers. To your point about the backup quarterback, no leadership. There is no veteran. Zach Wilson's team wore Mike White shirts pregame while he was the starter.
That's why I say Quinn Jameis. Ewers is a puppy. Give me like a Jameis who you could actually lean on.
And now seeing what Flacco did. With Cincy, the guys that made all these decisions on this roster, the guys that have Rasul Butler and Jack Jones one-on-one with guys on the outside, they're sleeping happily at night, and we're going to bench Tua. Seems crazy.
I'll read you your other local headlines. Hurricanes are now number 9 in the latest AP poll.
Seems about right.
4 interceptions. We watched 8 interceptions, gentlemen, this weekend between our starting quarterbacks.
Tua had 3 or 4?
Tua had 3. I guess 7.
7, man, yeah.
Sorry. Louisville moves up to number 19. The Canes host Stanford on Saturday. Stanford beat FSU.
Canes are a 30-point favorite over Stanford.
I'm making that mistake again.
The thought is that they're coming out mad as hell.
Mad.
Yes.
The Florida Panthers.
They're banged up, and they're in trouble. They've played a lot of hockey. They've played, 10 months of hockey out of 12 months every year for the past 3 years, and they're injured. This, to me, is the least shocking development.
They close out their 5-game road trip tomorrow. Let's see if they are up for this game. Big game tomorrow against the Boston Bruins. They've lost 4 straight, all on the road. And obviously this game is important because, 1, F Boston, and 2, Brad Marchand makes his return.
As a champion.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a champion before, but as a champion with the Panthers.
The Heat did ended their preseason slate 0-6.
The Heat opened their season Wednesday. We have a boatload of tickets that were given away to the Heat home opener versus the Knicks, which is this coming Sunday. They open on the road Wednesday in Orlando. So make sure tomorrow you're listening to us in the afternoons and Joe Rose in Hollywood in the mornings and Tobin and Leroy in the middays for your chance to win Heat tickets every hour. Every hour starting tomorrow with the morning show going through middays, ending with us in the afternoons. Heat tickets for the opener against the stinking Knicks will be given away every hour right here on your home for Miami Heat basketball, 104.3 FM WQAM.
Inter Miami, Messi locked up the golden boot. He had a hattie in the final game, and they're going to play Nashville in the first round of the MLS playoffs. They have home field advantage. First game will be Friday night, 8 p.m.
All right,
gentlemen. Your weather in South Florida right now. Hawk, you want to help me? I can't really see. What's the weather like?
I the worst way to do the weather is to look out the window. Come on. Let's look at the app together. I'll help you out by looking at the app.
I can't really see.
How does a paper bag look sick?
It is partly cloudy, 86 degrees.
Everything that touches you is immune system is shot.
You got a sickly paper bag. Where'd you get that paper bag? All right, there you go. That's your weather.
That's sponsored by Chillzone AC, featuring reliable Root AC systems. Make your AC great again. Visit chillzoneac.com.
All right, John Michaels from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. By the way, Dolphins play the Atlanta Falcons this coming Sunday. They're 7.5-point underdogs, the Dolphins are. John Michaels, we're going to talk some Hurricanes and Dolphins with him next, so do not go anywhere.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I would love to have a cup of coffee and a piece of pie with Mike McDaniel at Denny's.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcast.
John Michaels is going to join us. I want to remind everyone first, though, Solana is going to be at Raising Cane's tomorrow, 11 a.m., newest restaurant. Their grand opening on Miramar Parkway and Southwest 172nd Avenue in Miramar. I'm going out for the celebration as well. I will be there at 11 a.m., as will Solana. But if you want to get in on the fun, if you get there by like 8 a.m., you might be one of the first 20 there who win free Raising Cane's for a year. And we're going to have heat tickets to give away. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love. Solana, tomorrow, grand opening of Raising Cane's, 11 a.m., Miramar Parkway and Southwest 172nd Avenue. John Michaels is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Before we talk football with them, I always remind you the best place to get geared up with Canes merch is Caneswear in Davie or online at caneswear.com. So John Michaels hosts mornings on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Dolphins will be in Atlanta next Sunday, taking on the Falcons. Dolphins are 7.5-point underdogs. Hurricanes host Stanford on Saturday. Canes are 30-point favorites over Stanford. But what the hell does that mean? Because the Canes were 14-point favorites over Louisville, and I don't think they ever led in the game, if I can remember correctly. I think Mario was shell-shocked. John, what happened? What happened to the Canes in the Louisville game Friday night? Does it worry you that we've seen this type of movie play out before when it comes to the Hurricanes?
Well, that's a loaded question, isn't it? Because yes, it worries me because we have seen this last year and the year before and 10 years before that. And seemingly for the last 25 years, we've seen it over and over again. I know I've come on this show a lot and I really feel this team's different. And I don't say that just from a fan perspective. I say that from watching football, being a part of football for 20 plus years. You look at the lines of scrimmage, they're supposed to be better. Those guys got their butts whooped on Friday for a big portion of it. And I get it. Carson Beck was terrible. I think Carson will admit that he was terrible in that game and put us in bad situations. But Jeff Brohm had us down two touchdowns before I think I had my first Tito's all the way done. I mean, it was that quick they were down. And then you just couldn't run the football. And it kind of blew my mind that the way that everything they have preached and the way that they had played the first five games really went out the window on Friday night.
Did they get out coached? Because Louisville, they surprised me physically. Like, they had some dogs over there. They had some very athletic humans. And the funny thing, they're all from South Florida anyway. by Teddy and Lamar and everybody else that went there. But it seemed as if Louisville was a step ahead of Mario and Heatherman and them boys.
Really over Heatherman for the those first two drives. I mean, Louisville was boom, boom, right down the field. And then as the game kind of settled in, I thought Corey Heatherman did a good job of trying to figure things out, and he slowed Louisville down. Crowder, you know, if a team has four turnovers, and I know the one turnover is at the end of the game, so you had three turnovers, and Louisville got 0 points off of them. So I thought Corey Heatherman and his group settled in and started playing better. I think they underestimated the athletic ability of some of the Louisville players because Isaac Brown forced 18 missed tackles, which was the most in the country, I think, by nine. I think the next closest running back had 9 missed tackles, where he forced 18 against Miami. And I thought offensively, Shannon Dawson, and I'm not sure if it was a concerted effort that they saw something on tape that they could throw down the field, but they kept taking shots down the field until they all of a sudden kept turning the ball over. And then it looked like Carson Beck just got afraid. And then in the fourth quarter, Louisville said, all right, we're not going to sit back in zone any longer. We're just going to attack. Miami, for the first time really all season long, I thought the O-line looked a little bit confused. The running game was bad. So to your question, I'd say, yeah, it felt like they were out-schemed offensively and defensively for most of the game against Louisville.
Yeah, it's what I wanted to ask you, John. Why can't this team run the football anymore? Because 63 yards, I think it was 63, is insane. Considering all we've talked about this team is up front, it's Mario Cristobal's best offensive line, and obviously the defensive line has looked outstanding, but even against FSU, John, this team, it wasn't as apparent because they end up winning the game and they had the big lead. They couldn't move the chains on the ground.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with scheme-wise. They ran the ball 18 times, 12 of them were in between the guards. So you're basically just running a gap. Well, guess what? Teams see this on film. What do they start doing? They start double A-gapping. They start pressuring the inside. The best run play you had the whole game was the jet sweep to Malachi Toney. And I go, where has that been? Like, you know how simple that play could be 3 or 4 times a game? And it doesn't just have to be Malachi. You've got receivers and even running backs everywhere that could get things done. I look at Jordan Lyle. I want Jordan Lyle on some stretch zone plays where he gets a chance to get to the outside, put a foot in the ground, and get upfield. And I know a lot of my friends and fan base as well, we're texting like, what the heck are we doing? We just keep banging our head into the wall. And Louisville said, we're not going to let you beat us running the ball that way. What you're going to see the rest of the year is the same thing. Let's be real. When you play SMU in a couple of weeks, Rhett Lashley is going to go, fine, we're going to stack the box. We're going to double A-gap blitz a lot, and we're going to make you beat us throwing the ball and see if you can have patience. Louisville kept 3 guys deep seemingly the entire time. I know the flats were wide open. On 2 of the interceptions, he had tight ends and backs, did Carson Beck, that if he checks it down to them, they pick up 15 yards, and if they make a guy miss, they might still be running.
Real quick, does number 9 feel right to you in the nation? Does number 9, because that's where they are. Does that feel right?
I do a top 10 poll. I've been doing a poll for 12 years. I had him 8. I'd still have him above Ole Miss because Ole Miss' best win is against LSU. LSU is dog water. I think LSU is going to be maybe looking for a buyout for Brian Kelly within the next 16 months. That's their best win. Don't give me who you lost to is your best loss. I want to know who you've beaten on the field. Ole Miss had been. That's the only difference. I'd have Ole Miss 9 and Miami 8.
Yeah, and you brought up Shannon Dawson, speaking about like just the past selections where Carson wasn't looking to the flat. He wasn't looking low. He wasn't looking check down. He was just, you could tell by his shoulder, he was ready to rip it deep as soon as he caught the ball. Like, is that in the game plan? Because it seemed like after about that second interception, his ass should have started looking for somebody within 10 or 15 yards of that line of scrimmage.
And look, Crowder, the first interception, I got to give to Louisville, I think it was their linebacker. That guy makes an unbelievable play. Toney's got him beat. They pass interfere Malachi Toney. The kid comes flying over from the backside and makes an interception. The second one, Carson has Keelan Marion for a touchdown. He underthrows him by 5 yards. He throws a moon ball and he underthrows him. But I think it was in the game plan. I think they thought maybe something that was on film, hey, we can beat Louisville down the field. Well, after the second one, if I'm Shannon Dawson, and again, TV doesn't do it justice, so I don't know how much they're sitting and talking to Carson on the sideline. If I'm Shannon Dawson, I walk over and say, look, you give him that shoulder fake to throw down the field, and now look in the flat. Elijah Lofton's over there. Alex Bauman standing over there. Marty Brown or Mark Fletcher standing over there. You got to figure out a way to take the easy stuff. And that's what Carson had been doing the first 5 weeks of the season, taking the deep shots when they were there. And then when guys were deep and they were playing 3 deep coverage, you were throwing underneath. You got to get back to that, because I'm telling you, that game plan is going to be the same for everybody until Miami proves that they can beat it.
Let me segue over the Dolphins before we run out of time. You watch the Dolphins game. Everyone's talking about it. They play your Falcons coming up on Sunday in Atlanta. Would you give any thought? I was saying earlier, something has to be made just to show the fan base, hey, what you're witnessing there is unacceptable. Well, they're not firing Mike McDaniel. They're not firing Chris Greer. Would you give serious thought to sitting Tua? I'm not saying benching him for the season. I'm saying sitting him Sunday against the Falcons and going with Zach Wilson or Quinn Ewers.
If it's Zach Wilson, hell no. I'd rather me or you play quarterback than see Zach Wilson get anything done. To appease a fan base, you do that at home. You don't do it on the road, because let's be real, there's going to be Dolphin fans here, because that's just what happens in Atlanta. We sell our tickets anyway. But I wouldn't bench him on the road. Now, the next home game, if he comes out and stinks it up Sunday against a pretty good Falcon defense, yeah, I'd probably bench him. But the fact that they're not firing, the fact that they're not even thinking about firing McDaniel or Chris Greer, I would not buy a Dolphin ticket again until both of those guys are gone. Not just one of them. Don't give me McDaniel as the scapegoat. No, blow this thing up. Stephen Ross, if you want to sell, find a billionaire friend, sell it, and get it to an owner who gives a damn about winning football, because that product is disgusting.
We were talking about, you think Tua's shot, or you think Tua's just shell-shocked and he's in a bad situation, or you think he'll never go to another Pro Bowl? I'll put it that way.
Man, I have been the biggest Tua supporter. I always thought the kid had a chance to be really good. And if you looked at the numbers pre this year when he was healthy, he's been really good. I think it's a combination of everything. I think, one, he's sick and tired of getting hit around like a pinata at a 13-year-old's birthday party because the GM refuses to invest in good offensive linemen. I think people have caught on to Mike McDaniel's system. It's predictable. He's not throwing the ball down the field. I saw a stat where he's only thrown like 20 passes within 10 to 19 yards, and six of those have been intercepted. He's been dink and dunk to the most Chad Henne dink and dunkness that you have ever seen. I mean, everything is in the flat and check down and everywhere else. I don't think he's ever going to be good in Miami again. I think Tua, much like maybe a Sam Darnold, much like some of these other quarterbacks, Daniel Jones, he'll be good somewhere else, but I think his time in Miami is done. Unfortunately for them, they invested $250 million in him, and I don't know who the hell is going to take on that contract.
What do we make of the Atlanta Falcons, John? I'm struggling to figure out what this team is, because the last time I watched them, they got blown out by the Panthers 30-0. And I guess the Panthers aren't the worst team in the NFL, especially when they're at home, fine. But then you beat the Commanders, you beat the Buffalo Bills, an impressive victory on Monday Night Football. And then yesterday, you know, 49ers are good, but it's Mac Jones on the other sideline, and I was just bored watching Michael Penix and the offense struggle. What are the Falcons?
Mediocre team. They're the same old Falcons that they've always been. Unfortunately, they're costing me sleep, because they played on Monday night a week ago, and I don't go to bed till 1 in the morning. Last night, not only am I pissed off from Friday night, now I'm pissed off on Sunday night having to watch them. They're not well coached, and that's the biggest problem. I like Raheem Morris as a person. I got to know Raheem when I did sidelines years ago and he was on the staff, but they're poorly coached. The end of the first half, you cannot have your quarterback throw the ball out of bounds and get an intentional grounding and end up getting a 10-second runoff and not getting points. You're down three on the road, and they're poorly managed because they brought in a backup kicker who they don't trust to kick a 53-yard field goal in the NFL when people are making 60-yarders all over the place. They're frustrating, Solana. They've invested four straight years of top eight picks on the offensive side of the ball, yet on the road they average 10 points a game. Zach Robinson, if he wants to go to Oklahoma State where the job's open, I'll help him pack. Get Georgia pack and load. Let's get over there. I'll put a box or three inside the truck. They're mediocre. They're going to go 500 again, and they might be looking for a new coach at the end of the year.
And Bijan's going to go 500 on the Dolphins. Bijan's special. He's a space
kid. Is ridiculous and humble. That's the greatest thing about Bijan. I tell the story. We're not the flagship, so I can be a little tougher on the Falcons than the other competition in town here. When we go out to training camp, like everybody's got a nice setup as the fans walk in, they have us on a back parking lot behind the practice facility where nobody can see us. But when Bijan was a rookie, they have, that's where the rookies used to have to go stay in this auxiliary building, and they'd have to walk. It was almost like a gang initiation. They have to walk over to the regular side. Every morning, Bijan would come by and talk to us. Now, he wasn't allowed on the air with us because he'd get in trouble. Hey, guys, how you doing, man? Looking forward. Like, he's just that guy. He's as good of a person as he is a player, and I'd argue right now he's a top five player in the NFL. How do you give him 14 carries in a 10-point game a day ago? Coaching malpractice.
Yeah, well, listen, 14 carries against the Dolphins does equal 500 yards rushing. So he's pacing for a bit. I think I could rush for 100 yards against the Dolphins' run defense.
He's going to be like that high school kid. Did you guys see the high school kid that had 550 yards on, like, I think 20 or like 12 carries this week? Kid averaged 26.2 yards a carry. That might be Bijan coming up on Sunday. This will tell you how bad it is. I'm not even going to the game. I refuse to drive down there and watch these two teams. No chance.
I'll tell you how bad it is here, because the Dolphins and the Hurricanes were so bad, we couldn't even make fun of Crowder and Billy Napier in Florida and all the hoo-ha going on over there. But we're out of time, so I can't even do it.
Look, Florida did the right thing. You got to pull the plug at some point. We can make fun of Florida State. You're too broke to fire your coach. You're too broke to get rid of Mike Clavel.
I mean, maybe $50 million, though. I mean, you can understand being hesitant to pull the plug there, no?
Hawk, that's like your radio contract. They could never get rid of you. You're going to be 90 years old. You're going to be the face of 2 a.m.
I wish, brother. I wish. We'll see you.
90 in what, 5 years?
All right. Cute Billy Napier. All right. We'll see you, John.
See you guys.
There you go. John Michaels from 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Woo! It is a rough one for Dolphins fans and Hurricanes fans, man. This is ain't getting better against Bijan Robinson. I don't wanna get too far ahead of ourselves because it's only Monday. This ain't Rico Dowdle and Judkins and whoever else has rushed for over 100 yards. This is Bijan Robinson that they're going to have to defend on Sunday. This is going to be something, man.
All they do is get him in open space, and we can't tackle. Bad combination. Math problem, it's not mathing right now for the Dolphins defense.
Rough.
You're listening to the Hawk, Crowder, and Solana Show.
50% of the time I stay in hotels, I clog the toilet.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radnor, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.